Let's bow our heads in prayers. Heavenly Father, we glorify your name for a precious opportunity. We are asking today that you put some words in my mouth, that I might speak to this, your child, listening. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Crisis or school of tears is unavoidable and inevitable. As a matter of fact, no man is permitted to pass through this planet without crisis. Furthermore, it does not even need your permission to visit you. Crisis does not need your permission to visit you. And the wind that blows you to where you should be may not be the one that you like. God Himself allows it. And I am sure that no teacher recommends you for an exam if he does not want you to be promoted. My listeners today are divided into three. Number one, people who are about experiencing the University of Tears. Number two, people who are currently experiencing the University of Tears. And then number three, people who are just out of the school, that is, graduates of the University of Tears. I want to share a solemn message with you today on the University of Tears. University of Tears. Turn with me quickly to the book of Psalm. I'm reading Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5. The book of Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5. The Bible says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." If you go with me again to the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. It says, "A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." And if you further go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." The scripture presupposes a period. And it says, weeping may endure for a night. Meaning that weeping may come. But I am glad that weeping will not stay forever. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And while you are rejoicing, remember that the Bible says, there's a time to laugh. And there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. And there's a time to weep. And Isaiah said, when you pass through waters, there was no conditional clause. In fact, the scripture does not say if you pass through waters. It says, when you pass through waters. Which means that whether you like it or not, it's not even optional. You must pass through waters. But there is a glorious promise in that. If there is no challenge, no champion, nobody can come out one day and say, "I am the world heavyweight wrestling champion," without a challenge. You cannot be a champion without a challenge. In every endeavor of life, if you must be a champion, there must be a challenge on your way. We are living in a period when to be a champion, to be a hero, you must pass through the University of Tears. There are five topics I will give this message. If you like, you can call it "The Days of What Shall I Do?" If you like, you can call it "The School of Mara." Maybe you may prefer "God at My Confused Junction." You might also call it the University of Have Nots or Way in the Wilderness. I want to remind you today that all great souls have attended or passed through the wilderness. They have attended this University of Tears. People preach sunshine every day. Thank God for such wonderful preachings. But I want to say that if you have sunshine every day, there will be drought at last. If you have sunshine every day, there will be drought at last. There are things that will not prevent you from passing through the University of Tears. Your years of experience. If you like, maybe you were born again in 19 Abraham. You received the Holy Ghost in 19 Moses. And probably you have been there, a preacher, for 30 years. Listen, you must also pass through this University of Tears. Years of experience cannot exonerate you from passing through this great university. Your ability to fast. You can fast for 3 days and three nights. You can fast for 21 days or 40 days and 40 nights. I want to still remind you that you must. It is inevitable. You are not permitted to pass through this generation without experiencing the University of Tears. It is a compulsory junction. It is a compulsory experience. Your ability to bind and loose will not prevent this you from passing through this school. Maybe you can bind the devil, thunder the devil, rain the devil, fire the devil, kill the devil, and bury the devil. That is nonsense to the devil. If you bury him, you must also pass through this school. University of Tears, you can't bind it out. You can't lose it out. You can't lose it away. One day, you must experience the University of Tears if you are not already experiencing it. Your academic ability, diploma holder, BA, MA, MSc, PhD, it does not matter. Even if you are a professor, you have the University of Tears to pass through. The amount of money you have, be you a millionaire, a billionaire, or a quadrillionaire, when it is time for you to pass through this university, it is compulsory. It is not negotiable. You must pass through the University of Tears. You must wait one day. You must come to a confused junction. You might come to a place where you don't know what, where you don't know what to do. Your sincerity, you say, I'm a sincere human being. I'm a sincere Christian. That will not prevent you from passing through this God-given precious university. God allows you to pass through this university for a good purpose. Your faith, even if your faith is bigger than the Kilimanjaro mountain, even if your faith is taller than the Everest mountain, it does not matter. You must pass through this University of Tears. I'd like to take you today through the scriptures that we might begin to see men and women, people of God, who passed through the University of Tears. They wept. They were confused. They questioned the God. Yet, the school came for a purpose. Remember that I said something that I wanted to catch. No teacher will recommend his student for an examination if he does not mean it for promotion. God allows you to pass through what you are passing through. And listen, I want to believe in my heart, you are passing through what you are passing for promotion. In fact, you are a candidate for promotion. Hear it again. You are a candidate for promotion. That's why God has deemed it necessary for you to attend the University of Tears. You are attending this school because of promotion. I'd like to take you to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 23. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse number 23, the children of Israel, as they were traveling, look at what happened. There was a school they attended. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. These people left Egypt by divine mandate. It was God that told them, leave Egypt and go to the land that I have prepared for you. And they left Egypt in obedience. They came to a place where they were thirsty. Because they were in the perfect will of God. One expected them to drink swan water, Ragolis water, Pamplumus, Uzi, the best of spring waters, because it was the perfect will of God. However, he felt unfortunately, the water they saw was bitter. What do you mean? In the will of God, yet, instead of the best of waters, it was a bitter water. Spiritual kindergartens, they used to say in the church, if I'm doing anything with opposition, if I'm doing the will of God, opposition cannot come. If you say that, it means you're a spiritual kindergarten. He felt a matured person should think this way. If you are doing anything and you don't see any opposition, get back to God and ask him whether he is with you. For anything that is the perfect will of God must be opposed by the devil. Anything. The devil has no other business except to oppose anything that is the will of God. If you are doing anything without opposition, ask God if he is actually with you. These people passed through this tier, the school of Mara, tasting bitter water instead of a perfect water that they should drink. That is life. It was also on this same road, the road of the will of God, that they came to a place where they saw Red Sea before them, Egyptian pursuing behind, impregnable mountain by the left and by the right. They came to a confused junction. Where Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me take you to another person. If you read the book of Ruth, chapter 1 from 19 to 20. Luke, chapter 1 from 19 to 20. There was a man called Elimelech. Elimelech, because of famine, he moved from Bethlehem to Moab with his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They died. Elimelech died with his two sons and left Naomi with other Moabite widows, Orpah and the Ruth. Look at such university of tears. Now the woman will come out with her husband and two sons. And at the end of the day, the husband is no more. The two sons are no more. And something happened in here, Hawa. When Naomi began to go home, the Bible says, the women say, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? As I look at that comment in Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, maybe some women began to say, is this the plumpy Naomi that we used to know? Is this the way circumstances has mesmerized Naomi? Naomi, is this the way the world has kept you? Child, you have become an emergency widow. You've lost your husband. You've lost your two sons that would have been a source of comfort to you. Naomi replied, saying, don't call me Naomi. In fact, Naomi meant pleasant. And he said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, bitterness. For the Almighty God has dealt very bitterly with me. I know there are people listening to this message today. If they are allowed, they will change their names because of what they are passing through. If they are allowed, they will want to leave. They will want to change their sweet names and answer ugly names because of what they are passing through. Such is life. There was a woman who passed through the University of Tears. I'd like to take you to another Old Testament figure, a man called Job. Take your time and read Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. You're going to see what this man passed through, the University of Tears. The Bible began to say that Job was the greatest man in the East. That is, he was a worthy man. If you call Job a millionaire, it's not complete. John may be a billionaire, not just a billionaire, call him a quadrillionaire. He was a wealthy man, the greatest in the East. But I thank God, the Bible says he was rich and righteous. Rich and righteous. You know, the thing began to stagger the devil's mentality. And the devil began to say, how can a man be rich and righteous at the same time? He could not understand that Job could be rich and righteous. Now let me ask this question. Dear listener, have you ever counted 1 million naira? $1,000 or $500,000? Have you ever counted 5 million sefa? And it is your private money. Now, let me ask you a question. If God blesses you and gives you $500,000 or 1 million naira and it is your private money, or 10 billion sefa and it is your private money, will you still attend the weekly activity? Will you still come to weekly activity? If God blesses you, will you still come to church? You know, there are wicked people. There are people who want to block the way for other people. You know, some people, the time God has not blessed them, they were satisfied with mineral. The time God has not blessed them, they were satisfied with fruit. But the time God began to bless them, alcohol became their portion. There are other people, when they have not been blessed, they were satisfied with one wife. Now that God has started blessing you, you are now thinking of making your adding another woman to your wife. That is wickedness. May God forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are blocking the way for others. Where is the blessings of God leading you to? God, when God has not blessed you, every day you are sleeping in the church, tarrying before the Lord. You were zealous for God when he has not blessed you. Now that you have started counting in thousands and millions, right now you have abandoned God. You have now abandoned the zeal. Right now, coldness has replaced the zeal that you used to have. Listen, Job was rich and righteous. It's a challenge. And this reveals that a rich man can still worship God. A millionaire can still be a child of God. A billionaire can still worship God. The thing began to stagger the devil's mentality. And he said, what am I going to do? And by the way, God began to boast with Job. God said to Satan, have you considered my servant to Job? And there's nobody like him. The problem of Job, do you know why Job entered into the school of tears? Just for one reason. God boasted with him. God boasted with him. God said, I am proud of Job. I am proud. I can tell you any day, any time that Job is my child. And the devil said, God, does he fear you for nothing? Have you not blessed him? Who will not be blessed in that way and he will not worship you? And Satan made one sentence and he said, have you not made a hedge around him and around all his property? When I began to read the scriptures, something taught me and I began to realize that there is a hedge around you if you are a child of God. There is a hedge around your property. There's a head around everything that you have. And Satan cannot touch them without the permission of the Almighty God. No wonder the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. No weapon fashioned by the devil, fashioned by every man that will prosper. And any mouth that will rise in judgment against you, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Not heritage of hypocrites. Heritage of the servants of the Lord. Not heritage of 419 people in the church. Not heritage of Pentecost Sepulchre in the church. He said this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Well, God said, I give you permission, but make sure you don't touch his life. Something happened. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his children. Job lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. Look at that situation. Not only that, the woman who should have comforted Job, the wife. This is my first time of seeing a woman who decided to become a voluntary widow. The woman said, die. You better die. What are you living again? I have decided to become a widow. Die. Curse God and die. You know, there was a woman who said, it does not matter how sick my husband is. At least, if he's alive, with his name, I can claim a farmland at the beginning of the year. But look at this woman. She said, curse God and die. The interpretation is this. I have decided to become a voluntary widow. Die so that I will be without a husband. It is too much. But Job said, why are you speaking like one of the foolish women? I thank God the Bible says that in all these things, Job did not sin against God. And he did not charge God wrongfully. There was something Job proved. He said, he proved that he was not worshipping the gift, but he was worshipping the giver. And he was not worshipping the giver because of the gift. Job proved that money or no money, worth or no worth, I want to be in peace with God. Thank God. He saw beyond his circumstances. And Job made a statement. He lived by divine revelation. And he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he said, even if worms will destroy my skin, even if worms will destroy my skin, this I know, that in this my flesh, I shall see God. What am I saying today? I'm saying this to say that Job began the university of tears. Friends came. I said, Job, this type of thing can never happen to a man who is free. Check yourself. No. There must be something wrong with you. You see, there are languages you will hear when you are passing through the university of tears. Human beings may misunderstand you, and you may misunderstand God. Human beings may misunderstand you, and you may misunderstand God. If you are passing through this school, it's a time of questions. It's a time you question yourself. You ask yourself questions. You will confess both known and unknown sins. And I thank God, if you get back to the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 22. The Bible says, after the university of tears, God blessed his latter days more than his beginning. I want to speak to somebody who is listening to me now. God has a plan for you. Your latter days shall be greater than your beginning. Your latter days shall be greater than your beginning. Hey, don't kill yourself, don't kill yourself, don't commit suicide, don't resign, don't run away. After this school, promotion is coming. After this school, God is going to catapult you, and your latter days shall be greater than your beginning, says the Lord. A student must graduate. God has not created you for you to remain there perpetually in the university of tears. You will graduate one day. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want to announce to you that your joy is about coming. Your joy is about coming. Just last night, there was an emergency meeting of the Godhead. This meeting was held in the executive chambers of the Godhead in the Sanctum Sanctorum. Crucial decisions were taken in that meeting. And I've been appointed today to be their PRO to declare to you the decisions taken at the executive chambers of the Godhead. I have the pleasure to inform you today that during this all-important meeting, your name was mentioned. Your name was mentioned. And let me tell you what was discussed. Your graduation from the University of Tears was discussed. Heaven has started discussing your graduation. Listen. Philosophers say one thing. Philosophers say that only one thing is permanent. They say that only one thing is permanent. And that thing that is permanent is change. Change is permanent. In other words, if you are a rich man today, you will change. If you are poor today, you can also change. Yes, if you are sick today, you will not remain like that perpetually. One thing is permanent, and that thing is what? Change. I want to draw your attention to somewhere. Go with me to Genesis chapter 37. In fact, if you begin from 36, read those chapters about Joseph. There was a young man, he had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And if you read chapter 37 of Genesis, verses 10 and verses 20, they said, "Will you really rule over us? Is it true that you will come to rule over us?" Joseph was attacked because of his dream, not because of his personality. Satan and people can attack you because of your dream, not because of your personality. God allowed them to cast him into the pit. They thought the dream will be frustrated. They thought his dream, they said, "Oh yeah, come now, come. Let us see you rule over us." They wanted to frustrate Joseph. But they didn't know that God is a converter. God converts opposition into raw material. God converted the opposition into raw material. When they were meeting and they were discussing, and they were saying, "Let us see now convert." In fact, while they were sitting down having a meeting on how to frustrate him, there was need for him to go to Egypt, where the dream will be fulfilled. However, at that age, Joseph could not afford passport, visa, transport money, accommodation money in Egypt. So while they were sitting down having a conference on how to frustrate the plans of God, God reacted, converted their opposition into raw material, and it worked out the following things for Joseph: free passport, free visa to Egypt, free transport money to Egypt, free accommodation in the land of Egypt. Do you see the same thing can work for your life? He went into prison. Yes, he was in the prison. But at last, Joseph, what God said Joseph would become, he became. No wonder when they came to him and said, "Please, we are sorry." He said, "Forget it. You meant it for evil, but God converted it and used it as a good thing to save life." No wonder today, people can frustrate. People, now whatever you're passing through, it's not the end of the road. At the end of the school of tears, a promotion is coming. What do I say about Zechariah and Elizabeth? In Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, they were servants of God. They were holy. They were righteous. The Bible said they were blameless, but no child. No child. You see, there are people today, when someone doesn't have a child, they will say, because of the time of life he lived, that's why his womb has been blocked. But these people, they were righteous, they were blameless before God, but no child. That was their own school of tears, their own university of tears. But at the fullness of time, God didn't give them an ordinary child. God gave them a gifted child. At the fullness of time, God is going to give you a gifted child. There was another man called John the Baptist. If you read Luke chapter 7 from 18, John introduced Jesus. He baptized Jesus. He was the person who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And when Jesus came, the Bible said they arrested John the Baptist. And John probably began to say, "These people are late. If they had known that Jesus has come, they wouldn't have arrested me. I know that very soon now, he will perform Jesus' wonder and I'll be out of this place." John waited. He was not released. So much so that John sent his disciples, "Go and ask him, are you he who is to come, or do we expect another person? Did I introduce the wrong person? Am I sure of the person that I introduced?" By that time, the sick were healed, people were delivered, the oppressed. Jesus sent them and said, "Go and tell him what you see, that the sick are healed." And he said, "Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me." You can take your time and read it very well in Luke chapter 7 from 18 down. John said, John. Now,
If another person, if the disciples had gone on their own accord, would have understood it. But for John himself, who introduced Jesus to send and say, are you he who is to come, or do I expect another? It's a terrible thing. It must be a big university of tears. And John must have said, even if right now, even if he forgot, now that I have sent somebody to go and remind him, very soon my deliverance will come. Probably John began to announce to his inmates, prison inmates, and he began to tell them, any moment from now, I shall be released. It didn't take a long time. They said, who is John? He came. He thought it was a release. But behold, he was beheaded. Listen to me. This university of tears, like I say, is a place of misunderstanding God. It's a place of questioning the goodness of God if you're not careful. And if you're not careful, you get angry with God. You backslide. But let me tell you, even if you backslide, God will still be God. If you say you no more worship God, God will still be God. If the whole of Africa, if the present generation now, the whole world say that they will no longer worship God, God will still be God. He is qualified to be God. Everything he needs to be God is already in him. Your being converted does not make him a better God. And your going to hell does not make him a better God or a worse God. He is fully God, and nothing can stop him from being God. I don't know what your university of tears may be. Your own may be married disappointment. You were disappointed and you are crying. Series of disappointment and you are crying so much. Your own may be the death of a beloved somebody. Your father died. Your mother died. Your wife died. Your brother died. Your sister died. Your precious child died. University of tears. Your own may be childlessness. You have been married for years, for 10 years, for 20 years. No child forthcoming. You are now planning to adopt. Your own may be sickness and disease. It has remained there for a long time. It has taken all the money that you have. You shed tears every day. It has taken away your joy. Your own may be chain temptations. They will come in chains. This one after the other. This one after the other. I don't know what your own may be. Your own may be false accusation. False accusation. Now let me tell you something. John was in prison. And when the disciples began to go back, Jesus said, among people born of women, there is nobody like John the Baptist. In other words, somebody that the world in prison, the heaven was applauding him. Heaven was clapping for him. And John said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. That was what Jesus said. In other words, that he has not done it to you does not mean that he does not do it. That he didn't heal you does not mean he's not a healer. That he didn't save you from that situation does not mean he's not a savior. Your own may be false accusation. You know you didn't do that thing, but everybody is misunderstanding you. People are accusing you that you did that. That could be your university of tears. Your own could be church discipline. No food. Sack from a job. Your own may be divorced. Your husband has sacked you. Your wife has divorced you. And you are crying. You've shed tears. Yet, you are in that situation. You begin to ask yourself this question. Why the sack when I am faithful in my tithe? I pay my tithe, but why was I sacked? Why is it that I have no job? Because I refuse to give bribe or defile myself. Why am I poor when I married the perfect will of God? However, I don't mean when you bring yourself into a mess through juju, through drug or robbery, you say you are passing through University of Tears. No. It's not what I'm talking about. Your own may be fire disaster. Can be, all of a sudden, your house was engulfed with fire. Your house, the whole property you have, things came, made away with your car, made away with your property. You began to cry. Your hope was lost. Listen, the word of God cannot change. He said, weeping may endure for an hour, but joy cometh in the morning. All things are possible with God. And I want to tell you, God has placed a time bomb on your situation. There's a time bomb on your situation. That thing you are passing through now is not terminal. And let me tell you, God cannot be late. God cannot be late. God cannot be late. He has never been late. And he can never lie unto you. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, will he not do it? Let me ask you, listener, is there breath in your nostril? I don't care what you're passing through, but I want to ask, are you still breathing? The word of God says, there is hope for the living dog than a dead lion. That your breathing is a guarantee that your situation will be changed. That your breathing is a situation that you have a future. You have a future. God has not finished with you. You are just in a university. You will graduate and bag a promotion. And God is going to give you a degree in experience. And after the experience, people who will pass through the same school, God will push them to you for advice. Job lived by his revelation. He lived by his revelation. Let me tell you something. Let me share some solemn facts. Even as you're weeping, even as you're crying because of what you're passing through, listen, let me tell you something. No Christian need to have a Gethsemane without a comforting angel. Can you see your comforting angel by your side? Can you see? God will not allow you to pass through Gethsemane without a comforting angel. And by the way, God will have no furnaces if there were no gold to separate from the dross. If there were no gold to separate from the dross, God will have no furnace. All great souls have attended the University of Tears. Do you want to be great? If you want to be great, don't run away from the University of Tears. For great souls have attended them. People have had experiences. They have lost things they could not describe. Some have lost precious wives, precious husband, yet they became great. Convince yourself that you will still become what God wants you to be, no matter what you're seeing now. This is just for a moment. Your tears are but for a moment. Very soon, your tears will be turned into testimony. When God will give an especially bright crown to a soul, he first of all imparts an equally heavy cross. When you see a heavy cross upon you, it means that a bright crown will soon come. Affliction is to the people of God as the pruning knife is to the vine to prepare the thing for greater fruitfulness. Let me tell you, dear listener, if God numbers your hair, will he also not number your tears? The God who numbers your hair has numbered your tears. No tear will drop in vain. God has recorded your tears. Your tears have gone up to heaven as a memorial before God. And very soon, God will react over your situation. Very soon. And let me tell you, your destiny is not in the hand of the government. Your destiny is not in the hand of your boss. Your destiny is not in the hand of anybody. Not in your community people. Your destiny is in the hand of God. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know he who holds tomorrow. And I know he holds my life. And he who holds tomorrow says, it shall be well. He who holds tomorrow says, it shall be well with me. I want you to be convinced today, God's worst is better than the devil's best. God's worst is better than the devil's best. Yes, the game cannot be polished without friction. Now the child of God perfected without adversity. I can assure you that great physician can never pick the wrong button. For great missions, the preparation is great trial. I see you for great mission. I see you anointed for greatness. And the great trial you are passing through now is just great preparation. God is preparing you. Your future is very bright. Congratulations in advance. I say congratulations in advance. Your future is brighter than you can imagine. And let me tell you, Christians are like tea, something like Lipton tea. Their real strength is not drawn out until they get into hot water. You are like tea. Your real strength is not drawn out until you get into hot water. University of Tears is your hot water, and it will show your real strength. The very thing Satan throws in your path to check you may be made the stepping stone to higher experiences. Some things may come to us in rough wrappings, but there is gold inside. Trial afford the greatest opportunity to witness for Christ by example. It will cause you to witness for Christ by example. If you quit because of tears, then where are you? Yes. Fellowship in Christ's suffering is a qualification for sharing in his dignity. You know, people quote the scriptures, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. They stop there. But the Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection plus the fellowship of his suffering. If you have never known the fellowship of his suffering, you don't know what true Christianity and true disciple is all about. Yes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. When God sends a man to the lion's den, he goes there with him. God will not send you to the lion's den and leave you alone. And no crisis is greater than Christ. No crisis is greater than Christ. An obstacle is often an unrecognized opportunity. Unrecognized opportunity. What you have to do is to pray in this your situation that God may open your eyes to begin to see the opportunities. Difficulties can mar you. It can also make you. It can make you a champion. Yes, your tears will work out something good. I know that in the presence of trouble, some people grow wings, others buy crutches. I don't know which one you are doing. In the presence of trouble, some people grow wings, others buy crutches. Let me ask you a question. Shall light troubles make you forget weighty mercies? Why have you forgotten the mercies of God? Because of this light trouble that you are receiving. Just a shaking. Let me tell you, Satan can shake you, but he cannot eliminate you. The devil can shake you, may shake you, but cannot eliminate you. And the shaking of Satan removes the dust out of your body. The devil thought he would shake you, but he's just removing the dust out of your body. Problems are opportunities and work clothes. Let me also tell you, Christians are like rubber band. Christians are like rubber band. We are most useful when we are stretched. You cannot know how useful rubber band could be until you stretch the rubber band. That's the way Christians are like. Unless you enter the beehive, you cannot take the honey. And you must take a risk. Yes, the bee might sting you. But let me tell you, if you must get the honey, you must enter the beehive. Yes. A great sheep always asks for deep water. You want to be great? A great sheep always asks for deep water. And by the way, those of you who are acquainted with delicacies, when you are looking for omelette, you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. Eggs must be broken before you prepare omelette. I still remember the scripture that says, you are going to flourish like palm tree. Look at palm tree. Look at palm tree. Imagine palm tree. In the dry season, or during the dry season, when other trees suffer, during the dry season, Hamatan, when other trees wither, that is the time palm tree will begin to yield its fruits. When the Bible says you're going to flourish like palm tree, it means that time things are coming. They are preparing you for greater fruitfulness. Affliction, the tears you are shedding are preparing you for greater fruitfulness. Let me ask you today, do you still believe in the goodness of God? Do you still believe in the Son when the Son seems to hide his face? I want to announce to you, God still loves you. Hear it again. God still loves you. God still loves you. He's raising you up like an eagle. You know, ego, other birds of the air will use their wings to fly. But the ego will use the breeze, the wind, and not the wing. He will set it on the wind, and the wind will begin to carry the eagle, about. Let me assure you, that circumstances on your way. I don't know. That circumstances, God is going to comfort it. I see you. You want to quit? You don't have confidence again. God is saying something that I'm hearing. He said, behold, I will do a new thing in your life. Shall you not know it? He told David in Psalm chapter 89, 34, 35. He said, my covenant will I not break. Now alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. My covenant will I not break. Now alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto you. Listen, God did something in Genesis. When he was entering into a covenant, he brought a bird, and it was hand into two. Do you know what God was saying? He was saying, if I don't fulfill my promises to you, let it be done unto me as it is done unto this bird. Let me be divided into two as this bird is divided into two if I don't fulfill my promise. And he said to Jacob, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. I will not abandon you until I have accomplished that which I have spoken concerning you. You will not die yet. There's something God has said about you. What God has said about you, nobody can change it. It's not negotiable. No man, no group, no community can stop God. He has vowed by his holiness to catapult you. He has vowed by his holiness that you'll be something in this life. This is just a school. It will soon be over. Your tears will soon be over. It's necessary to shed tears. Because if you don't shed tears here, which one will God clean in heaven? It's necessary. Ah, but I can hear a sound. And it's a sound of abundance. I can hear a lifting. God is about lifting you. Can you believe what God is saying to you today? This university is for experience. It's for testimony. God will comfort them. He still loves you. Stop doubting his love. Stop doubting. Stop complaining. Do you know why you're complaining? You don't know tomorrow. If you had seen your tomorrow, if you had seen your tomorrow, if you had seen your tomorrow, let me tell you, this University of Tears, don't go to native doctor because of what I'm passing through. Don't lose your faith because of what you're passing through. Don't blame anybody because of what they're passing through. If you might be a victor, you have no time blaming people. Believe that God has placed a time bomb on this situation. You will come out of it. It will soon be over. It will soon be over. God has announced it. Hold yourself. Maintain your integrity throughout this situation. It will soon be a testimony. It will soon be a testimony. It will soon be a testimony. God has said precious things about you. Listen, if you get back to Isaiah chapter 43 from 16, the book of Isaiah 43 verse 16, after speaking, God said, when you pass through water, that is 43:2, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. I don't care the type of fire you're passing through. God said they will not burn you. Rivers will not overflow you. Yes, they will not overflow you. You must trust God. You must trust what God has said. And he said from 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a weed. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Who is the I? He who came out without a raw material. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, I will do something new. I will do something new. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He will make a way, a river in the desert. That is the precious promise of God. Can you lift up your hand? Can you believe the word of God? Let me tell you, if you are backsliding because of your circumstance, come back to God. Come back to Jesus. Begin to say, I'm sorry I messed up because of University of Tears. God, I'm sorry how far I went to thee. There's something God is about doing. When did you laugh last? Why has this university stolen your joy? Today, there's something God is going to do in your life. He's going to restore your joy. The Spirit of God is going to come afresh upon your life. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your heads for a moment.
I dare not trust the sweetness
Jesus.
Jesus.
If you're going to lean on Him today, if you're going to go back to Him, if you're going to talk to Him, every other ground is sinking. Native doctor's house is sinking. Occultic homes are sinking. Only Jesus is the solid rock.
When darkness hides His lovely face,
thank you, Jesus.
I rest on His unchanging grace. In every heart I'm storming glad. My anchor holds.
This is your opportunity.
In the
rain. Call
Him. Ask Him for grace. Ask Him for intervention. Ask for His peace to be restored in your heart. Ask Him for restoration of your peace. Our Heavenly Father, I bless you. I give you the glory. I praise you. I pray that you restore joy, restore confidence and peace in the heart of this listener. Be thou exalted for answering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring this peace in the heart of this person. Thank you for your Spirit of God. Look at that man who has gone astray because of University of Tears. That man who rejected you, Father, because of circumstances. Restore that confidence in Him today. Receive the glory abundantly, O God. Thank you, it is settled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.